Chapter 22, An Agent for Salvation. Yehuda Gavrieli was delighted to see Tevel, and he welcomed him into his home with great emotion. He was deeply pained when he learned about the passing of his dear friend, who had shown him extreme kindness. When Tevel was ready to return to Sebej, Yehuda asked him, "Would you be interested in managing some of my business affairs that have to do with my estates in Poland? You will certainly gain much from taking such a position." Tevel understood the hint. Yehuda was looking for a respectable way to reward him in order to express his deep appreciation to his late father. Tevel remembered the strict instruction that his father had given him shortly before leaving this world, and he politely turned down Yehuda's generous offer. "I'm a simple farmer," he excused himself, "not a businessman. It would be better to offer such responsibility to someone more suitable for business than me." Yehuda did not press the issue. Instead, the two of them agreed that Tevel would continue Reb Nachum's tzedakah partnership with Yehuda. Generous funds would continue to be sent secretly from Holland for Tevel to distribute the tzedakah as he saw fit. Tevel was deeply impressed by his meeting with Yehuda. A man who had thrown away a life filled with every material pleasure and honor for the sake of joining his persecuted Jewish brethren. A man who now kept 10 Talmidei Chachamim and their families in his home, and who secretly distributed vast donations to tzedakah. Upon returning to Sebej, Tevel began distributing large sums of his own money to tzedakah as well. He soon discovered that the more money he gave away to tzedakah, the greater was his success. His fields began to produce impressive amounts of quality crops. When sold, the produce earned him a fortune. His business expanded, and he began exploring other areas of business. He earned an excellent reputation and was treated with honor and affection by all. There was one issue, however, that constantly clouded the joy of Tevel and his wife. They longed to have children. They tried all types of segulas in the hope of meriting Hashem's blessings, but nothing worked. Eventually, the couple decided to move to a new location, fulfilling the teaching of Chazal, "A change in location brings a change in mazel." They sincerely hoped that their move would bring them their longed-for dream. In the year 1605, the good-hearted couple left Sebej and settled in the city of Vitebsk. A number of Jewish families moved with them because the fathers of these families helped Tevel run his business. One of Tevel's new sources of income in Vitebsk was a factory that produced alcoholic drinks. Tevel opened the factory in partnership with a friend named Mordechai Aaron Segel. The lengthy history of the Jewish community of Vitebsk had many ups and downs. During the time that Tevel settled in the city, it was governed by a kind-hearted man who was good to the Jewish residents. The governor was personally friendly with many Jews and acknowledged the blessings that they brought to Vitebsk and its inhabitants. By contrast, the king who then ruled the country despised the Jews. He did not hesitate to issue harsh decrees against them. It once happened that Tevel and his partner discovered through a secret agent that the king had sent a confidential document to the governor of Vitebsk. The king instructed the governor to expel the Jews from his city, leaving only those Jews who were essential to the city. Tevel immediately sprang into action. Entering the emergency meeting of the leaders of the Jewish community, he placed an enormous sum of money on the table. To his surprised audience, he explained, "Everything in our false world has a price. I have no doubt that our present problem can be also solved through money." His colleagues understood his hint, and they nodded their consent. Tevel wanted to make his plan clear. "The key to our salvation lies in the instruction that the king sent to the governor," he continued. "After all, the king himself permitted the governor to allow those Jews who are essential to the city to remain in Vitebsk. Our mission, then, is to help the governor reach the conclusion that all the Jews of Vitebsk, without exception, are essential to the welfare of his city." Tevel's partner, Mordechai Aaron, agreed to approach the governor on behalf of the Jews of Vitebsk. Due to his business dealings, he had become the governor's close friend. Not surprisingly, the heavy money bag that Mordechai Aaron handed to the governor immediately convinced him that Mordechai Aaron was correct. All the Jews of the city were indeed essential. The only condition the governor made was that the entire affair be kept completely secret. In a few days, I will publicize the king's order. Then I will present the king with a list of the Jews that are essential to the city. That list, I assure you, will include every Jew in Vitebsk. The governor was as good as his word. Soon enough, the news of the expulsion decree was announced in Vitebsk. The Jews who heard it were shocked and terrified. Tevel spread the message among his friends that everything will be all right, but it failed to calm the panicked Jews. Nevertheless, the governor announced just 4 days later that all the Jews of Vitebsk had permission to remain in the city. The Jews breathed a collective sigh of relief. Eventually, the rumor spread through Vitebsk that Tevel was somehow behind the salvation. The Jews of Vitebsk now admired and cherished him more than ever. 3 years after Tevel and his wife moved to Vitebsk, their dream came true. They gave birth to a son, whom Tevel named Nachum after his father. The child proved to be extremely talented. He loved to learn and was blessed with wonderful midos. As a mark of their profound gratitude to Hashem, Tevel and his wife began distributing even more tzedakah than before. The child grew up, and when he turned 19, they married him to a young lady with remarkable qualities. She was the daughter of the Gaon Rav Shmuel Yosef of Vilna. After his marriage, Nachum began a life of the parish, secluding himself from the outside world and devoting himself entirely to Torah learning and davening. His daily routine was extremely demanding. He attended Shacharis at the Vesikin Minyan that davened at sunrise each day. The rest of his day was spent mostly in intense study. In addition, he rose to recite Tikkun Chatzos at midnight. Nachum was a source of much nachas to his father. His father-in-law, by contrast, constantly expressed his strong disapproval of Nachum's way of life.